Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's Saturday, the 30th of March. I'm Kira Evans, and this was a week that saw the countdown to the local elections begin, a Baltimore Bridge tragedy, Donald Trump back in court, and Shakira back with a brand new album.
Grab a cup of something hot, put up your feet, and get up to speed on the seven biggest stories of the week. This is the Standout 7 from the Smart 7.
It's news,
but not the news.
It was a busy week in UK politics that saw the launch of local election campaigns, news on pensions and more cabinet reshuffles as PM Rishi Sunak still faces questions over his Rwanda plan. On Sunday, Chancellor Jeremy Hunt appeared on the Laura Kay Show, where he was quizzed about the pension triple lock. That's a policy which ensures publicly funded pensions rise by whichever is highest of the average wage increase, inflation or 2.5%. And it's good news for pensioners as Hunt seems committed to safeguarding the policy.
Will the triple lock be in the Tory manifesto this time around?
Well, I can confirm it will be, yes. And that is an expensive commitment. And you can only make that commitment if you're confident that you're going to deliver the economic growth that's going to pay for it.
But there was less brilliant pension news for so-called WASPI women who say they're owed money after they weren't adequately informed of the change in state pension age. Hunt called the situation complicated, and the Labour Party also appeared to have pulled a 180 after pledging billions in compensation before the 2019 general election. Here's Labour Party Chair Annalise Dodds explaining that the funds just aren't there anymore.
Well, unfortunately, of course, Labour lost the last election, but also circumstances have changed radically as well. I think very few of us would have expected the mess, sadly, that Liz Truss made of our economy and that continues to be made under Conservative-led government.
Prime Minister Rishi Sunak found himself forced into a mini reshuffle on Tuesday as two more ministers quit his government. Armed Forces Minister James Heapy and veteran Tory MP Robert Halfen, who had been Education Minister. Halfen also announced he'd be stepping down at the end of Parliament, making him the 63rd Tory MP to announce they'd be avoiding a re-election battle. Rishi was busy battling with the SNP's Joanna Cherry over his troubled Rwanda plan at the liaison committee. She wanted to know why people from Afghanistan fleeing the Taliban are having to get to the UK via small boats.
Your members of parliament were whipped against voting for an amendment that would have prevented Afghans who had aided His Majesty's armed forces in Afghanistan from being sent to Rwanda. Is that something that makes you proud?
I really disagree with that characterisation, and given we've just had all these debates in Parliament, I actually think characterising like that is deeply unhelpful.
Sunak also denied that there's a crisis in local authority funding, despite warnings that several large councils are facing bankruptcy, and said his overriding economic priority remains the control of inflation. Labour officially launched their local election campaign on Thursday with high hopes of winning seats across the country, as Tory polling numbers continue to hover around Liz Truss levels. Labour leader Sir Keir Starmer was in Dudley for the launch, the same location where Boris Johnson launched his Levelling Up pledge, a campaign that Starmer says unforgivably failed. Labour were being cautious in their promises, with Sir Keir saying there's no magic money tree and no way to quickly fix the damage done to the economy. But with his eyes firmly set on victory, Starmer was keen to get on the next and bigger election campaign.
I was hoping we'd be launching a different election campaign here, but the Prime Minister wants one last drawn-out summer tour with his beloved helicopter. Britain wants change, and it's time for change with Labour.
Labour Deputy Leader Angela Rayner has been under pressure over the sale of her council house in 2010, and she's been busy defending herself all week. Now, a Tory MP has lodged a fresh complaint with Greater Manchester Police, who are reassessing their decision on her file. That didn't stop her from landing a few choice blows on Rishi Sunak, though.
We have a Prime Minister who's political equivalent of that friend from back home who says he'll get the first round in if you pay for the taxi, and yet when you get to the bar, he's nowhere to be seen.
Six. There was an incredibly dramatic incident on Tuesday morning in Baltimore, Maryland, as Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed after it was hit by a container ship. The bridge, which was 1.6 miles long, was constructed from steel and opened in 1977. But Maryland Governor Wes Moore said it had been fully up to code. Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott says it's almost unthinkable that this has happened.
This is a tragedy that you can never imagine, but never would you think that you would see the Key Bridge tumble down like that. It looked like something out of an action movie.
The Key is a key piece of infrastructure for Baltimore, which is a critical transport hub for U.S. East Coast, and U.S. President Joe Biden was quick to respond.
I'm directing my team to move heaven and earth to reopen the port and rebuild the bridge as soon as humanly possible. And we're going to work hand in hand to support Maryland and whatever they ask for.
Six men are now believed dead after the bridge collapse in Baltimore, with two bodies recovered overnight on Thursday from the men who were working on a rogue crew. Investigative teams have salvaged the data recorder from the container ship Dali, and the National Transportation Safety Board investigation is continuing. U.S. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg held a White House press briefing on Wednesday afternoon and pledged that the government will continue to provide support and assistance, including getting the port reopened and rebuilding the bridge. There was praise too for officers who immediately closed the bridge to traffic once the Mayday call came through. The investigation is ongoing into what happened on board the ship, and Governor of Maryland Wes Moore says he's keeping an open mind over criminal charges for the shipping company.
I don't think there's anything surprising about the investigation. There's a lot that we still have to figure out, but the thing that we know is wherever the investigation leads, that we will follow, and we will make sure there's true accountability around it.
That was the sound of the attack on the Krokus City Concert Hall in Moscow last weekend, shortly before a sold-out picnic concert was due to start. At least four armed gunmen stormed the venue just after 8 p.m, firing indiscriminately before setting the building on fire. With over 140 people dead and at least the same number injured, it's the deadliest terrorist attack in Russia in 20 years. Over the weekend, flags flew at half-mast and many events were cancelled as Russian President Putin vowed to punish those responsible.
Whoever they are, whoever guides them, we will identify and punish everyone who stands behind the terrorists who prepared this atrocity. Russia has repeatedly gone through difficult, sometimes unbearable trials, but has become even stronger. It will do so now.
The Islamic State group claimed they were behind the attack, releasing graphic footage which has been verified by several news outlets. But Putin was quick to place the blame on Kyiv, claiming the attackers had tried to flee to Ukraine and were being helped out by contacts there. It follows a weekend of major Russian missile attacks across Ukraine, and Ukrainian President Zelensky says Putin's outburst was predictable.
This absolutely miserable Putin, instead of attending to his own citizens of Russia, addressing him, remains silent for a day, thinking about how to link this with Ukraine. Everything is absolutely predictable.
In the wake of the Moscow terror attack, which ISIS have claimed responsibility for, Vladimir Putin doubled down on his strategy to blame Ukraine. By midweek, he did at least concede that Islamic State carried out the assault, but blamed the neo-Nazi Kyiv regime, saying it was part of a pattern of attacks on Russia. Ukrainian MP Lesya Vasilenko says it's clear that Putin is plotting to use the attack to ramp up his war in Ukraine.
Going to be a new wave of mobilization in Russia, meaning that more soldiers, more Russian men will be sent to the front lines. This will further Russia's aggression, possibly deeper into Ukraine.
The situation in Israel didn't see any improvement this week, despite a UN vote and ongoing international condemnation of the hostilities in the area. Sunday saw Israeli troops storm two more Gaza hospitals, killing at least one member of staff and leaving medical teams at both sides completely immobilized, according to the Canadian Red Cross. It came as Israel cut off food convoys from the UN's Palestinian Refugee Agency to northern Gaza, putting thousands at risk of famine. Secretary General of Medecins Sans Frontières Chris Lockyer had sharp words for those supplying weapons to Israel.
If you are enabling this conflict through finance, through the provision of weapons which are being used to kill and indiscriminately bombard civilians, You yourselves are complicit in this conflict.
Monday saw the UN Security Council finally pass a motion that demands an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. It came after the US abstained, marking the first time since the war began 5 months ago that there's been a concerted effort by the Security Council to pause hostilities. The US UN ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenwood says that America is working hard to close a deal in the background, but that it is Hamas who have caused the delay.
We're getting closer to a deal for an immediate ceasefire, but we're not there yet. Now, let's be clear. A ceasefire could have come about months ago if Hamas had been willing to release hostages.
Israeli PM Netanyahu lashed out after the vote, cancelling a planned Israeli delegation to the White House next week and saying that the US has abandoned its policy in the region to the UN, but he and his government are now under increasing pressure. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres was also speaking out while in Jordan, denouncing the Israeli decision to block food and aid deliveries to refugees in northern Gaza.
The decision not to allow UNRWA's convoys to northern Gaza, where we have a dramatic starvation, is totally unacceptable. And those that took that decision must assume the responsibility facing history.
But even after the UN Security Council resolution there was no sign of progress on Tuesday. In fact, Israel recalled a negotiating team from Qatar, blaming Hamas for a lack of interest in talks and the UN resolution for damaging the negotiations. Israel's relations with the US have worsened too as pressure mounts, but with Hamas demanding an Israeli withdrawal from the Strip during the ceasefire, there's no prospect of a breakthrough anytime soon. Meanwhile, UNICEF spokesman James Elder, who's on the ground in Gaza, spoke to Channel 4 News and says no food aid has been allowed through to northern Gaza in days.
We must be very clear on this. Israel's responsibility to allow all aid, it's not happening. That's why we have an imminent famine. Truth matters here. The imminent famine in the north, it's man-made. The only good news here is it can be fixed.
Still to come on the Stand at 7, plenty of trouble for Thames Water and Shakira's hips are back in action.
Right after this.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome back.
It's been a bad week for the rivers of Britain. First, there were warnings that rowers in the annual Oxford-Cambridge boat race would have to avoid going in the water as there are high levels of E. coli in the Thames. Not exactly ideal, but there was more shitty news as a new report said 2023 was the worst year for sewage spills since records began. Raw sewage was discharged for more than 3.6 million hours last year. That's an increase of over 100% on the previous year. Lib Dem leader Sir Ed Davey says it's time for desperate measures.
Liberal Democrats have been warning the Conservatives about this sewage scandal for years, but Rishi Sunak and the Conservatives just haven't listened. That's why we need a national environmental emergency to be declared to make sure that we are protecting human health, which is in danger because of this.
On Thursday, it looked as though one of the biggest private water companies, Thames Water, had found itself in deep trouble. Shareholders have refused to provide an extra £500 million of funding for the troubled utility, describing it as uninvestable. CEO Chris Weston says customers could be facing a 40% price rise by 2030, but that the company is not at immediate risk of collapse.
If at the end of the day we were in a situation where we had no equity, then there is the prospect of special administration. But we are a long way from that point at the moment.
The regulator has so far rejected any proposed price rise, and the government is understood to be ready to take over the firm, which provides water for 15 million households if it does head for collapse. Levelling up Secretary Michael Gove didn't sound too impressed, though.
Well, I think the leadership of Thames Water has been a disgrace. I have zero sympathy for the leadership. So the answer is for the management team to ask themselves why they're in this difficult situation. And of course, the answer is because of serial mismanagement for which they must carry the can.
Another week, another round of lawsuits for Donald Trump, even as he secured his third consecutive Republican presidential nomination. The start of the week saw him set to lose many of his assets, including his private estate and golf course. The former US president had a Monday deadline to arrange a $464 million bond after a New York state court found him guilty of civil fraud last month. And while some of his supporters claim he's been unfairly targeted by the government, US Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said that this goes far beyond politics.
Has there ever been a president, Republican or Democrat, that has been subject to this level of criminal charges? This is not about party. This is not about politics. This is about corruption and criminality.
On Monday, Trump had two significant New York court hearings, the first in the so-called hush money case, which involved adult star Stormy Daniels, and events that took place in the run-in to the 2016 election. Despite Trump's many objections, the case is now going to trial and jury selection will begin on April 15th. The other case on Monday saw Donald escape potential financial ruin as he failed to raise a $500 million bond required to appeal his New York fraud case. However, a five-judge panel reduced the bond to a mere $175 million and gave him more time to find the money. Trump didn't sound particularly grateful and took the chance to hit out at the judge again.
So I greatly respect the decision, and I'll post either $175 million in cash or whatever is necessary within the 10 days. But Judge Ed Norton is a disgrace to this country. And this should not be allowed to happen.
Shakira really is a modern pop music icon, from her hips, which famously can't lie, to her turbulent marriage to football star Gerard Piqué. She's been firmly in the spotlight for a long time. Her divorce has been a never-ending source of tabloid stories, including the time she put a witch on her balcony facing the house where her mother-in-law lived. But she's back now with a brand new album, her first in 7 years, and a hit song with Cardi B called Punteria. She says the secret to her newfound and creative energy is simple.
I've been putting out music here and there, but it was really hard for me to put together a body of work. I didn't have time. It was the husband factor. Now I'm husbandless. But yeah, the husband was dragging me down.
You've been listening to The Smart 7. We'll be back tomorrow at 7 a.m. Hit that follow button and have a great day. Give us 7 minutes, we'll give you the world.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.